A change that happened this week was the venue for a Widow's Walk picnic is no longer going to be at Angie's and my house. Instead, Anna Hart is going to be hosting along with Nathan. And so they are providing, I think it's hot dogs and sloppy joes. And they're asking ones to sign up who want to come and sign up for what they're going to be bringing. There's a sign-up sheet on the desk in the foyer here. So if you're planning to go to the Widow's Walk picnic, it'll be this Saturday, the 26th. And what time? 1 o'clock? 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. Don't show up at 1. 5 o'clock. sorry about that. So that'll be a good time, I know. And so hoping we'll have a lot of folks there. Let's go to God and begin our sermon here with a prayer. Father, we're so very grateful that you have given us truth, that we can open up the words of life, your scriptures, and understand how it is that we ought to live. Sometimes we don't like to open those words because they point out to us how it is that we are living an external relationship with you, that we are involving our lips but not our hearts, that we are not engaging in a right way with you, where we are loving you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, but we are going through the motions. We are attending the services. We are doing the things that we need to do externally without engaging ourselves wholeheartedly to you. We know this was true all throughout history, especially in the time of Jeremiah. And we can see, Lord, that today it's very easy to become a Christian in name only and not truly love you and serve you in the way that we should. Help us to learn our lessons so we can truly be your child that is pleasing to you. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. I don't know if you remember this old commercial or not. I was probably 10 years old when it came out in 1981. And where you've got these two people, and you can see the, by the clothing that it's very late 70s, very early 80s. Walkmans were a new thing. They had headphones, head straps on, two young people walking along. And one's got chocolate and one's got peanut butter. And I always wondered, who just walks down the street eating peanut butter? Does anybody do that? Seems like a very odd thing. Even to a 10-year-old, I thought it was odd. And they walk around the corner of the store, and they bump into each other. And, hey, you got your chocolate and my peanut butter, and you got your peanut butter and my chocolate. And then they each taste it. Why would you do that? Were we not worried about germs way back in 1981? I know it was a long time before COVID, but still, you wonder how this goes on. But they try it, and it's two great tastes that go great together, right? Two great tastes in one candy bar, Reese's peanut butter cups. I love chocolate and peanut butter together. But here's the thing. Human nature is that deceptive words and itching ears go together like chocolate and peanut butter, don't they? Seems like itching ears are always looking for someone to tell them something that they want to hear and tell them that it's truth, and deceptive words are looking for itching ears in order to scratch. As we can see in the world around us, this kind of thing going on all the time. Whatever your belief in politics and so forth is, you can find a TV network that will please your itching ears and tell you what it is that you want to hear. That is the way that our society is. We surround ourselves with those not who will challenge our thoughts, maybe cause us to think, but instead we surround ourselves with people who tell us what it is we want to hear. Those people are our friends. I'm not sure that Paul would find a Mars Hill today where people are willing to hear new things and see if there's any belief in those new things that they can grab onto and become part of what it is that they should be believing instead. We tend to listen to what we want to hear. And so here's our lesson today as we jump into this, is we want to make the application of, is this me? Am I like the time of Jeremiah, just before the captivity into Babylon, where people are going into the gates of the temple, there to hear what it is that they want to hear, to pretend that they are God's people, and yet they are living a life that is very different. They are following their own idols. They are doing what they want to do. Are they going just to have their itching ears scratched and they continue to live life the way they want to do? Let's start out with the principle that we're talking about here. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, as Paul is writing to the young evangelist, probably the last letter that he writes, and says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Now, I'm pretty sure that Paul was writing to Timothy about a time that was coming at that time when Paul didn't think he would be around. He thought he would die under Emperor Nero, and history shows that that was certainly true. And so he's telling Timothy, look, it's going to be coming. Just in the next few years, next few decades, it's going to be happening. You got to be ready for it. But I think the application is for all ages, for all time, especially the time we're living in right now, where people only want to hear what they want to hear. And so Eve had itching ears. She might have been the first one, I think, who had itching ears, that deceptive words were spoken to, and she was glad to have her ears scratched by the serpent. It says here in Genesis chapter 3, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" I'm sure Eve had passed that tree. She had seen the fruit. I'm sure that Adam had said, "We could eat from any tree in the garden, but you can't eat from that tree there, lest we die." And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" As Christians, don't we know what God's word says? And we can repeat it to ourselves because we've read it so often, we've heard so many sermons about it, and we see the things that the world has to offer that we're told not to touch, not to eat of, not to have anything to do with, and we say, nope, I got to be good, I got to submit to God, I got to do what He says, and then suddenly here comes along some deceptive words. How itchy are your ears when you hear those deceptive words? "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You shall not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," you're starting to scratch there a little bit, it feels good, it is good for food, "and that it was a delight to the eyes," it looks fine, doesn't look moldy, doesn't look rotten, doesn't look like it would be bad for me, "and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise," I could become like God, knowing good and evil. Why is that such a bad thing? We can justify things to ourselves. It's really our ears that are itching, and here's the deceptive words that are beginning to scratch at them and make them feel so good. "She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her," we are told. And so really, what do deceptive words do? They prey upon our selfishness. This is why we itch in the first place. We know what God says. We know how He says we need to submit to His word, to follow His commandments. Even if we don't understand them, we need to do what He asks us to do. But we're selfish. And our ears begin to itch a little bit because we'd rather do our will rather than God's will. This is the same thing that Jesus was wrestling in the flesh while He was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so 1 John chapter 2 tells us that the result of this selfishness can be a love for the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride and possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. The world is so good at deceptive words. The world is so good at setting up lies that sound good, and really what they're doing is scratching our itching ears. Because we're selfish and we want to do what we want to do, but we know we shouldn't because we've got to submit to God and live for Him. I'm no longer my own. I went down into that water of baptism. I came up as a new creation. And I said, I will do all of your will, not mine. And yet, our ears continue to itch because of selfishness. The world is full of deceptive words that continue to help us to justify in our minds, well, this really wouldn't be so bad. Why is it really wrong? Is it just something that was wrong years ago culturally and now it's not so wrong? Is the Bible outdated? Is God's word, his commands outdated? And maybe that was what my grandparents and great-grandparents had to follow, but maybe not me. Maybe I can live for myself. Times have changed. And little by little, those deceptive words begin to scratch at our ears. But notice the last part of that. Whoever does the will of God abides forever. So the choice is really between selfishness or submission. In Jeremiah's time, God's people had to change internally, not externally. Here's the difference between lips and the heart, where we are saying with our lips externally what we know that others want to hear and what we believe God wants to hear from us, but our hearts can be very far from God. Mark chapter 7, 6 through 8, Jesus said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites?" This is from Isaiah 29, verse 13. "As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Externally, they're trying to worship me, but internally, they have nothing to do with me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of man." I believe it's a constant battle between what is internal and what is external. And we try to bring this ourselves into our worship. We show up at the right time. We sing all the songs that everybody's singing. We bow our heads when the prayer's happening. But are we really and truly engaged internally in the worship of God? Or are we just going through the motions? Can we just check off our box that Sunday we worshiped God and God ought to be okay with that? Or do we show up and truly worship Him from the heart? Did we worship Him with our lips today? Or did it come from within? And this is what is going on inside the temple gates in Jeremiah's time, when God says, Jeremiah, to the very door of the church, so to speak, of that time. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. He had him go right where these worshipers. Now you would think that God would be happy to have those worshipers at least coming to him, because the northern kingdom had already been sent off into captivity with Assyria. Nebuchadnezzar's army was threatening to come from Babylon and take away most of the rest of the country. Those who really didn't care that much about God at this time certainly weren't going into the temple courts. They were the ones who were sleeping in on Sunday morning. They were the ones who were going golfing. They were the ones who had, hey, this is the only time I get with family. I'm going to spend time with them today. You would think that God would be happy to have whoever it is who walks through those temple gates, those church doors, to be there no matter what their heart was like. And God says, that's not good enough. I want my people to worship me from their heart, not just from their lips. Internally, not just externally. Not from selfishness Monday through Saturday, but from submission all week long. This is a big thing that God is asking, and so he sends Jeremiah right to the temple gates of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you men of Judah who enter these gates to worship the Lord. What about once saved, always saved? Aren't they God's people? Can't they just go to the temple and live however it is they want to live the rest of the time and they're saved? Why can't they just continue to do that? Why is God so involved and concerned with their internals rather than just their externals? And so we have verse 3 and 4. This is what Jeremiah was to proclaim to them. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. You see, what they had believed from those who were speaking these deceptive words is God is not going to do anything to harm this temple, because that's where he had promised that his presence would dwell with mankind. And so as long as we stick close to the temple physically, externally, as long as we are there where God is going to preserve his presence among men, we'll be safe. It doesn't matter who threatens us from the outside. It doesn't matter, as long as we attend church, as long as we sing the songs, as long as we pray the prayers, as long as we at least half pay attention to the sermon, we can be okay, because God likes that we are there in the first place at all. And God says, amend your ways and your deeds. It's got to be internal worship, not external worship. And then I will let you dwell in this land. For if you truly amend your ways and your deeds, if you truly execute justice with one another, if you do not oppress the sojourner, the fatherless, or the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, take care of those who are most vulnerable around us, and if you do not go after other gods to your own harm, then I will let you dwell in this place in the land that I gave of old to your fathers forever. It's interesting there because externally they're saying God dwells here, so I'm safe. And God says, if you don't change your ways, I'm not going to let you dwell here. You need to make sure that you're doing what you need to be doing internally so that you can be one of mine, God says. Has nothing to do with physical location, has nothing to do with external worship and going through the motions, has everything to do with your heart, not your lips. So today, God's people must please God and not themselves. This is heart, not lips. We need to always worship from internals, not externals, because we today are God's temple. How are you going to get away from yourself? When you were baptized into Christ, you came up as a new creation. God says in Acts in 2, verse 38, that he gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we become God's temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, do you not know that you are God's temple? And that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Are we to reason and say to ourselves that because I've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit when I obeyed the gospel, that God's not going to do anything against his temple, against his Spirit, his presence that dwells now within me? Or does God want us to live for him and allow that temple not to be destroyed from within because of bad choices, sin that we might choose, or that we just kind of have a compromised or a lukewarm version of Christianity that's out there that doesn't truly worship God from our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving him with everything that we have? God wants to be pleased by us, and only by an internal worshiping of him can he be pleased. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so whether we are at home, in the body meaning, or away from the body, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And there we'll have to give an account of everything done while in that body. Will it be shown that we loved him with everything that we have and everything that we are? Are we truly living for him, or are we living for ourselves? Is it selfishness, or is it submission? Is it from the heart, or is it just from our lips? Is it internal that we have a relationship with God and love him with everything that we are? Or is it external and going through the motions? As we get back to Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 8 through 11, he warns against these deceptive words that people are saying, hey, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, temple of the Lord. Hey, I went to church this Sunday, I went to church this Sunday, I went to church even on Wednesday. God's really giving me extra credit there. He says, behold, you trust in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known, living for yourself all week long, doing whatever it is you want to do, talking however you want to talk, watching whatever shows you want to watch, hanging out with people who are not very godly? Sometimes that could be done online. And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered. We have salvation through Jesus. And we've lived the way we want to live all week long, only to go on doing all these abominations. As this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes, behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. If we are God's temple, then all of those abominations, instead of doing it outside and then going to the temple gates in Jerusalem, we are doing those abominations out in the world all week long while we are in our temple where God's Spirit dwells. Can we do all of that and then stand here on Sunday morning and worship Him and say, we are saved, we are delivered? Who do God's people seek to please today? Is it ourself or is it God? And then God brings to them an example. For a lot of their early history, before David had taken the city of Jerusalem and brought the Ark of the Covenant there, we know that God's presence on the Ark of the Covenant had dwelt up in Shiloh, which was up in the northern kingdom. And so God says, go now to Shiloh. Go to that northern kingdom that is no longer there, hasn't been around for over 100 years. Go now to Shiloh, where I made my name dwell at first, and see what I did to it because of the evil of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these things, declares the Lord, and when I spoke to you persistently, you did not listen, and when I called you, you did not answer, therefore I will do to the house that is called by my name and in which you trust, and to the place that I gave to you and to your fathers, as I did to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight as I cast out all your kinsmen. Cast out? No longer be his people? That's horrible to think of. We try to rest too much in the fact that I was baptized once. God gave me that promise. And now that's the thing that I can point back to, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the external, which was only the start, the beginning, but what maintenance have you done on it since God has made you his temple, a dwelling place for God? We don't want to be cast out. It's not once saved, always saved. As the folks in Jesus' day found out in Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But I'm sure they called themselves Christians. I'm sure they thought of themselves as being God's people. I'm sure they thought to themselves, it doesn't matter how I worship or how I live, just as long as I go to church and I go through the motions and I live for him when I want to, when I need to. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Not lips, but heart. Not external, but internal. Not selfishness, but submission. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And so here's the challenge that is before us. I love chocolate and peanut butter together. That's some of my favorite candies right there, okay? Yeah, I'll even take Hershey bars and put peanut butter on it, crunchy, not creamy, on the candy bars first before I eat them. I'm human too, but we can't have my itching ears scratched by deceptive words. I must choose to submit, not give in to selfishness. I need to make sure that my worship is internal rather than external, that it's from the heart and not just from my lips. It's so easy today, because the world makes it so easy today, to be an external worshiper. That as long as you attend a church, it doesn't matter what church you attend, just as long as you can check off that box every Sunday, that you are a Christian and you're doing what you need to do to get to heaven. But the road is wide that leads to destruction, and those deceptive words have scratched so many ears. Instead, we need to be an internal worshiper from the outside, or for the inside out. The road is narrow, we're told, and the few find it that leads to eternal life. And so if this is you, and you haven't obeyed that gospel, you've never become a true worshiper of God because you've never done what is necessary to obey that gospel, to begin that walk with Christ, to follow His commands and live for Him by doing what He has asked you to do within the pages of His Word. This might be an opportunity to do so. To believe, to confess Him as Lord, to repent of your sins, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and then to rise up out of that water to walk as a new creation, or to study to know what's involved with becoming a child of God. This would be an opportunity. Or it could be that for a long time now, your worship, your life, has been external, not internal, and you need to make that change. Please come forward as we stand and sing a song of invitation.